Hey, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It's another weekend, and Thanksgiving is fastly approaching us, it's on us coming fast, right? This year is almost over with. That blows my mind. It seems like every year it gets faster, and some of my older audience out there, you get that. It just seems like every year just goes faster and faster, and next week is Thanksgiving, and then right after that, Christmas hits, New Year's, and then we're into the next year, right? But praise Jesus that we're alive and we're still breathing and we can still speak the gospel out to this world. As long as you got a breath in your body, you have a purpose and goal, and that is to go out there and to proclaim the gospel to whoever that needs to hear it. And in this world where it's so chaotic and the gospel is watered down, we have a great purpose. And because of this purpose, we're in a war. And that's what this series sermon spin on is, if you're just now following me I'm preaching a series sermon on the armor of God, and to me that's very important to understand the armor of God. And when we become children of God, truly we place Him in the Lord of our life, and our lives are changing. We're out there and people can clearly see a difference between us and them, because this world today is Satan's world, and the scripture is very clear on that. This Satan owns this world. This is God's creation, but this is Satan's world. We see that when Jesus is being tempted, and Satan offer him the kingdom of this earth, and he said, "I'll give this all to you." But we already know that Jesus will be coming back. He's gonna fully restore this world, and he's going to establish his kingdom on earth. So, if you trace up or down the first sermon in this series, if you look down, you'll see Invisible War. That's the beginning of this series sermon. And then you can trace it all the way back down to this sermon if you're curious on, you want to hear the whole sermon series. Also, I have several sermons on salvation. Not the watered-down version of salvation that is preached in majority of your churches today, but a true salvation that Jesus expound in Scripture. I always say I go straight to the Word of God. I let the Word of God speak, not me. I'm just a messenger, a humble servant of God, a poor messenger, but a vessel that's willing to do what the Lord needs me to do, regardless the cost. So in Ephesians, I've been kind of reading through these verses every time, because I just wanted to just go through the Word of God through these verses every time. And I believe we speak when we go to the Bible and we just read from the text, God will communicate, even though if I may fail to communicate correctly, and I'm human, I make errors. The Word of God, the text, will always not go void. It will reach whoever's heart that needs to hear it. And I encourage you guys to take these scriptures and to break them down and just look through the Bible and understand that this armor of God that we have, and that we're in a spiritual war. It's been waging forever since Adam and Eve took the fruit and the sin entered this world. So the scripture reading I'm going to read is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. That's 10 through 18. Before I begin, just bow with me, brothers and sisters, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for another day that we can study your word, that we can just carry in our heart, that if we have that honor, that privilege of just knowing you and to read your word and know you more. Know you more every day. A hunger that never ends for your word, for the gospel. A desire, a passion, a power to just go out into the world and to proclaim the gospel to this world and the truth of the gospel. Heavenly Father, as we approach Thanksgiving, Lord, I pray, Lord, that everyone that we just take a moment to reflect, like we should every day, on the goodness and thankfulness of your glory and your mercy and your grace that was shed on the cross, the blood that was shed that we could live. Thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you just for our families and just having that time to be with them, Lord. Let's never take that for granted. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us in this message, that you give me the words to say. Whoever's listening, I pray that you reach their hearts in this message, transforms their life, and ignites a passion in their soul to proclaim the gospel. Let's turn this world upside down. I look around and I ask myself, are we turning this world upside down, or is it turning us upside down? We are supposed to be separate. The world's supposed to see us different. And I'm afraid many Christians, professing Christians, you couldn't even separate them out of lineup between this and the world. We are supposed to be separate, and that's your word. You tell us in your gospel, Jesus, come out of this world, be ye separate. That is the God you preach. Those are your words. And are we living that today? Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles that is the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principality, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take up on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereupon with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now we're at the part of these scriptures where we're focusing now on the shield of faith, the shield. And as I open up in all of these messages, is that Paul was trying to give an illustration to the time he was living in. That was during the Roman Empire, right? And when we look at the Roman Empire, there was two kinds of shields. One was a small, round, handheld shield, like the kind you always see in those movies about ancient gladiators. I like watching the movies, especially the gladiators, and you see those shields, right? I think Gladiator, the one with Russell Crowe, I think it's been a while since I watched. I gotta watch that again. He had a shield, and I mean that was a very powerful movie, graphic. But this was not the shield that Paul was talking about. The shield that he's referring to, you can Google this and look at it. It was a 4 foot high and 2.5 foot wide, and that it had hooks on the sides to link it to other shields in a line so that an entire row of soldiers could advance while exposing themselves to incoming arrows. I know I've seen several movies where you see these arrows and they're flaming. They actually take the arrows and they put them in a form of pitch and they light it on fire, and they you see these flaming arrows and missiles coming at the approaching army or soldier. And interesting about these shields is that they were made with iron and two layers of wood, wrapped them in a linen, covered it with leather, so they had a gap between the layers of the so that when the flaming arrows could penetrate far enough into the shield, they could be quickly extinguished. That's a pretty amazing, you know, if you can visually see that, you know, you have these arrows coming at you and they're flaming, and you have the shield specially designed. They hit the shield and then there we were able to distinguish to put them out, basically extinguishing them out. And that's what he's talking about here. He said taking the shield of faith, and he's giving a visual a illustration so his audience at the time will realize what, you know, because that was very they could picture that, and that you and they could see the arrows coming at you. And he said of the wicked, and he's using the illustration saying that Satan's out there, his demons. They have these arrows, and they're always coming at you, and they're shooting these arrows at you. But he tells us to take up the shield of faith, that we can withstand these fiery darts that are coming after us. And, you know, we look at faith, and faith has many dimensions here. But in this passage, we know that faith is a defensive faith, meaning is a faith that fights, a faith that stands on the truth and the promises of Jesus. When you're under attack, you know, when I am under particular attacks, and as a preacher and as a, you know, traveling and teaching, and I get under attack, and when you get under attack, it sometimes it literally takes your breath away. And at that point in time, I have to go to the scripture. I have to take this defensive faith and put my shield on, and stand on the word of God and the promises, the truth in the gospel. I don't know if you really look at all the promises and the truths that God has promised to his children. I was looking at one commentary, and it said there's over 5,467 promises. That is 5,467 promises. That is, to me, that's pretty amazing. That's a lot of promises. And that, to me, that's a lot of ammo. That's a lot of strength to draw from when you're under attack. And these promises, they start at Genesis 3:15, and all the way to and it ends at Revelation 22:20. You know, if we look at Genesis 3, and that's one of the first promises that God gave us. And if we look at Genesis 3:15, God tells us, I will put my enmity between thee and the woman, and between the seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise the heel." You know, this was the first promise, and this was the first prophecy that God was telling that he was going to send his son. And when he sent his son, he would have to die for this world because of the sin that entered into this world through the sin of Adam and Eve. He had to send Jesus, and that was the first promise. He was going to send Jesus to die for our sins. And to me, that's one of the most precious promises out there. You know, Jesus had to live on this earth. He had to go through everything he went through, the crucifixion. His death is just it takes my breath that what he did for you and me. And his blood had to be shed, and he had to be placed in that tomb, and he had to rise, and then he rose, and he was with his disciples for 40 days. He was seen by many. He and then he ascended to heaven. He left the Comforter, the Holy Spirit with us. That's another promise, right? And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can become his children, taking that up on our lives and letting the Holy Spirit, once we do that, the Holy Spirit comes into us. And that's another promise. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we have a strength to handle whatever comes at us, not because we can do it, it's because the Holy Spirit that lives inside us and the faith, believing that Holy Spirit's in us, it gives us the strength to endure whatever we have to endure at the time we're going through, right? You know, I was looking at all these promises and I encourage you, especially as a child of God, is start, do a topic study on the promises of God, and it'll start from Genesis 3:15 to all the way in at Revelation 22:20. It's amazing, and memorize these verses and draw strength from that, because this is what God has promised us, and he doesn't take away his promises for us. He keeps, he's true to his word. And I was looking at this, I think one of my favorite, and there's so many, I mean, there's so many scriptures out there that's just, you can draw strength on. And I was looking at, actually, Deuteronomy, I think I said that right, Deuteronomy 31, actually. Let's see, 31, that's a 31:6. And it tells us in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is that do good, go with thee, he will not fail thee, he will not forsake thee. And if you go to Hebrews 13:5, it confirms this too, is he will never leave you, he will never forsake you in your darkest time, when you're under attack and the devil is trying to tear you apart. And we got to realize that we have to give it to God. We have to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit operate in our life to defend us against the attack, the fiery darts of, and that's a faith, right? That's a defensive faith. I know I'm going through this. The pain is real. I feel it. God, I give it to you because I know you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. I lean on your strength. I am a child of God, right? And I know you won't leave me. You start doing that. That's a defensive faith. You believe in the word of God. And God will show up. And of course, praying over and just giving it all to God. Your shield of faith will, it's defensive. It will defend you. But getting in that mindset, it's like going to war. You have to get in that mindset, because we're always in, when we walk out the door every morning, we're engaging in some form of battle. It may be something going on in your life right now. I don't know, you know, who's out there, but you may be struggling with depression, anxiety. I mean, we're the devil's trying to tear you away one way or the other. He's trying to destroy you. And we need to understand that God's there for you, and especially if you are a child of God. Now, if you're not, go and look. Or if you're doubting it, just go to my message on salvation and listen to that. And if you have any questions, I have a link there. You can, I'm available. You can email me and we can talk about it. And I'm available. I work 40 hours a week, and then sometimes on the weekends I'm gone. But I try to keep track of that as much as I can. If you don't get a response immediately, I apologize. I will respond back to you, right? But the shield of faith is very important. You know, I was looking at some more promises here, and one of them is in Revelations, right? And, you know, Revelations can be, to me, it's the end game. It's kind of sad, but there's some promises in Revelation that you can draw strength from, especially when life is tearing you down. And here, let's see. Here in Revelations 21, 4, verse 4, and God shall wipe away the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And this is, you know, the close to the end of Revelations, and it's showing that God, when He comes back, that's it. All this pain that we're having now, all these sorrows, they're gone. We will live forever in painless, pain-free. We won't want for nothing, just as Adam and Eve didn't want for nothing before they chose to disobey God and the curse to enter this world. God had nothing to do with that. That was what they did. A rebellion that is still going on, and the Bible tells us it will increase. If you look at Matthew 24, you read through that, it tells you it's going to just get worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes back. And that's not my words, that's Jesus' words. If you look at Matthew 24, but the promises that He gives us is that one day all this stuff will end, and that all that will matter is, are you a child of God? Are you not? Have you accepted Christ into your heart? Or have you not? Because, you know, even to the very end, when Jesus comes back, we're not promised tomorrow. You know, today could be our last breath. When we close our eyes tonight, we're not given tomorrow. A lot of us really think we do. You know, we get caught up in that, you know, one thing I like to do every day is to reflect on what did I do for Jesus that day. If I say I didn't do anything for Jesus, I'm sad, you know. I failed Him. Because every day we're supposed to proclaim a gospel, a message, even if it's just about how we live our lives. Because once you become a child of God, a lot of people neglect this. And this is the part of salvation that's neglected among modern day in Christianity. You are changed. You are new. Paul tells us all old things are past. The thing is, if you're still living in your old stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I accept Jesus into my life, but now I'm still doing the same things I did before. Paul tells us, and Jesus tells us, you're not His. You have believed a false gospel. A false thought pattern, because Jesus tells us when we are His, we are different. He said you can't serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. He said if you love this world, the Father love is not in you. He said if you love this world more than you love me, if you love Jesus more than the world, your actions, your behavior will be a reflection, and people will see a difference. If they can't see a difference in the way you live your life, you're blending in with the vulgarness of the conversations. You're blending all that, and that's not grieving you. And you're like, I'm okay with doing this. I can talk this way. I can feel this way. I can do whatever I want because it's normal. No, Jesus tells us, come out of her, my people. He tells you're supposed to be different. If you're not different and you're not bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit, that is, the love. And that when you talk about love, that's agape. That's a different kind of love. That ain't what the world views. Some people get hung up on this love and they don't understand truly what God's saying. He's saying love them with the truth. Speak the truth. Truth can hurt. Love can hurt. A true love can hurt. When you tell somebody the truth, you're dead honest with somebody, it can hurt. And that's what God is telling you, love. And He tells us to long suffering. You should see these in your life, long suffering. The goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, the joy, the peace. If you don't have joy in your life, something's up. Because even though you're going through things in life, joy is basically Jesus over you. And the faith. And this is what we're talking about. The shield of faith. Make sure we stand on the premises of God. When we're under attack. When the darts are coming at us. And we don't know what to do. And we're just struggling. It feels like we're sinking. The shield of faith. We should always make sure we have it on. That's very important, brothers and sisters. It's getting real. This world's getting darker and darker, and the gospel that Jesus spoke that's in the Bible, when you start pointing out scriptures and people can't really understand it, and they're struggling with it, and they're struggling with it, and you can't struggle with things like salvation and still say I am a child of God, because you need to understand that you, by studying the Word of God, I can say 100% I'm a child of God and point out scriptures showing that. We all should be able to do that. And that also gives us able to witness. If we can't witness to ourselves, and when we're under attack about things, especially about our salvation, then we can't defend ourselves against the enemy, and we can't proclaim the gospel to anybody, because we can't even explain it to ourselves. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm explaining exactly why I know I'm a child of God, and that person, his eyes like, wow, most people can't explain that. I hope you don't fall in that category. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come today, Lord, just thanking you for this message, the shield of faith. I pray, Lord, that we always have our shield of faith on when we walk out into this world, Lord, that the devil is always coming at us, and he will shoot fiery darts of deceptions, lies, attacking the Word of God, especially in this perverse and dark and filthy generation that's growing cold and pulling away from the Word of God, substituting a gospel of themselves and not the true gospel of Jesus, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just raise up leaders and people that are willing to proclaim the gospel, to count the cost, and to realize that there is a cost involved in this, and they have count the cost, and they have given their life, they've truly submitted their life, and they're going to live for you regardless, that their life is a testimony of you. Because sometimes the only church people will see is in you. And I pray as long as they have a breath in their body, and they are not representing you, Christ, representing you, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that they hear this message and it changes their life, and that they start representing Jesus too. They avoid these conversations of filth. They avoid this world. They realize they can't serve two masters, and they commit everything to you, Lord, regardless. God, I want to thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to read your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, where I failed you in delivering this message, Lord, that you let it reach whoever it needs to reach. Let the words speak for themselves through each word, through the text that we read, that it just reaches whoever that needs it to reach, Lord, that it changes them. Because the old self is the evidence of not a true new self. And old stuff cannot make it to heaven. The only the new. A regenerated heart is all that matters. In a sense, the Holy Spirit enters and it changes you. You cannot live the old life without conviction on your heart and your mind that rattles you. The lack of conviction in today's world and people claiming to be something they're not. The lack of conviction, you tell us, the lack of conviction is a sign that they're not truly yours. And you tell us in the scripture, Lord, that many will go down that path. That path of destruction, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this message reaches whoever it is. It rattles whoever it needs to. And that they fully commit themselves to you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.